This is an untitled SGA Band and Ficklet, written by Ignipes and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated PG. For 7 days after he arrives in Atlantis, Ryan doesn't say a word to anyone. When Dr. Beckett looks at him with kind, sad eyes and asks when Ryan last ate, Ryan stares at him until Beckett sighs and looks away. He pats Ryan's arm awkwardly and says, "Let's take a look at your wound to see how it's healing." When the city's leaders ask Ryan for the gate address of his world, he looks at the wall behind them and ignores their questions until they stop asking. They don't dismiss him, but he leaves. "Tell us when you're ready," Weir says kindly, as he's walking out the door. Ryan doesn't look back to acknowledge her. He is fairly certain he's not a prisoner. They've given him a room with a bed. They give him food even when he doesn't ask for it. Everybody in Atlantis is busy, and most of them are armed. But they let Ryan wander the city freely. On his 7th day in Atlantis, Ryan finds himself on a balcony overlooking the calm blue ocean. The city floats, they told him, and sometimes it flies. He has a hard time believing that. "A flying city," he thinks ruefully. "It's something from a story for children." And he's never seen so much water, so much sky. Ryan remembers how they used to talk about going to the ocean someday, when they were older, when they could do as they pleased. They talked and planned and dreamed. But then the Wraith came and they took Ryan, and they took Spencer, but not to the same place, and Ryan knows he'll never see that ocean, their ocean, and he'll never know if it's as blue as this one. Ryan doesn't hear the door open behind him. But there's motion at the edge of his vision, and he's spinning around, looking for a place to hide before he remembers that he doesn't have to. Not here. Not in this place. The Wraith aren't following him anymore. It's the man they call Ronan, or Dex, depending on who's speaking and how frightened they are of him. He's the one who found Ryan, injured and hiding in the cave, and knew at once Ryan was a runner. Ryan hasn't decided yet if he's thankful the man found him or furious. It's a long time before Ronan speaks. He leans on the rail and looks over the water and says, "You should just tell them and get it over with." Ryan doesn't say anything. Ronan says, "Not going back isn't going to change what happened." He doesn't say, "Your home is gone, your family is gone, your friends are gone. There are nothing but ruins left. Even if you never give us the address, even if we never step through the gate to the planet you used to call home, even if you never face the truth, there are only ruins." But Ryan hears it anyway, and he feels an unfamiliar pang of shame. It's been a long time since he cared about being a coward. "Have they ever found any others?" he asks. His voice sounds rusty from disuse, dry and reed thin. "Besides you and me, I mean." Ronan doesn't look at him when he says, "No." Ryan nods. He reaches up to touch his neck, presses his fingers down on the bandage until he feels a sting. He's going to have a scar where the tracking chip used to be. "Not yet," Ronan says after a moment. "But we'll keep looking." He turns around and goes inside, before Ryan can ask him who he means by we, and how much hope he has in not yet. The end.